Their original plan was to buy up some property on which they and about six other families could keep horses. But the year they visited, Florida was hit by a freak ice storm, and the citrus growers in the area lost all their crops. And so when dozens of farms came on the market, the Westons bought 180 hectares worth of the grapefruit groves to build their little toy town of fellow vampires.
Oh, God.
This Toronto Life article was fucked. Fucked.
So they basically built a Fordlandia, but for just like lich lords.
Yeah, like, effectively. Effectively, yes. They kind of built like they built a place for people who go to the Bilderberg Group to hang out when they're not at the Bilderberg Group or at Burning the Owl or whatever.
I would love to do a walkthrough like and get the sales pitch where I get to see like the black obelisk by the sea and the massive sacrifice pit. the tower of skulls.
Yes, over there that's the Tower of Skulls. They all speak in affected British accents as well. It sucks. Galen didn't see the point of developing that much land for personal use, so he might as well make a business out of it. They settled on the concept of a village by the sea and built it. The result is a village center that is serene but oddly impersonal. Windsor can seem eerily deserted, like an abandoned architectural theme park, because they impose a strict architectural code. They didn't want everyone has to live clustered in like a faux town next to a general store, post office, inn, town hall, and gym. And I'm sure all of the go ahead.
Also, no Euclidean angles.
Yeah, no.
They have a strict non-Euclidean building code. so as not to anger the great old one they're trying to summon from the ocean.
Can you imagine just working at that post office or general store? Just, I cannot imagine anyone treated or tipped in the case of like the inn worse.
So many shipments of adrenochrome come into my small post office, and I have to treat them very carefully and refrigerate them.
This crate might sound like a child calling out for its mother. It's not. Ignore that. That's a Furby. It's a collection of Furbies. So they impose a strict architectural code dictating setbacks, roof lines, even a color palette for house exteriors. According to the rules, you can build something huge, but it can't look like a mansion. Instead, families build compounds of separate buildings in different hues. So the effect is magnified when the development is underpopulated, as it was during the visit the week before March break. Jesus. Anyway, as they were building it, Hillary Weston was named Lieutenant Governor of Ontario and had to take a pause on building her little model town in Florida to run her little model province in Canada.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I love it when the failed children of big monopoly capitalists get into government. That's the best.
Oh, this is Galen Weston's wife, in fact. She was an Irish woman. She created... some of the failed children that went on to be, let's say, implicated in a bread price fixing scandal or be creative director of a store. Yeah, that is right. So, anyway, while that was happening, so that started in 1989, here's what was happening with the Westons in 1990 in Canada. This is from an article entitled Groceries Long War. The UFCW in Ontario was bargaining with Loblaws and ended up getting wage increases taken away every 6 months in favor of wage progression based on hours worked. According to labor researcher Jan Kaner, the new contract signed between UFCW and Loblaws, quote, altered the conventional wage structure in food retail. This structure, still in place today, creates a ladder that is staggeringly difficult to climb for hour-deficient part-time workers who now make up the majority of groceries employees. Well, with this agreement in place, every other employer across the country was compelled to press for concessions and was able to extract them.